Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
This is scary. Jesus tells them, as you are now, you will bear the consequences of your own sin. It's a very scary thing. But even now, basically, I'm putting words in Jesus' mouth. Despite your wanting to kill me, there's a cure. Believe in me. Trust in me. And I'll get you there. I'll get you there.
In today's message, Pastor Jim confronts the terrifying reality of what happens when you choose to stay on the path without a Savior. Jesus makes it clear that if you keep going away from Him, you will bear full weight and consequences of your own sin. It's a heavy warning, but even in the middle of that darkness, there is a massive amount of hope because a cure is still available to you. You don't have to be afraid. Jesus promises that if you lean on Him, He will get you to where you need to be. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 8 as he continues his message, The Clear Path to Heaven.
And He said to them, watch this, you are from beneath, or you are from below. Now, is He talking about hell? In a bit, He'll talk about earth, but it's hard to say in this point. He goes, I am from above. What is He saying? I'm from heaven. You are of this world. You are of earth. Now, we're all of earth. Are we all from earth? Some of you are not, right? And so, He says this, I am not of this world. What is He saying? I'm from heaven. Now again, He's talking to these guys and they're like, who does this guy think he is? Verse 24, therefore I said to you, the second time, this is important, that tells us important, you will die in your sins, but now the sins are plural, for if, time out. He is about to tell guys who are trying to kill Him how to get to heaven. It's amazing. It's amazing. You think, oh, well, it's too late for me. No. No. Not too late. Wrong. Sorry. You say, who are you to tell me I'm wrong? I don't care. You're wrong. He says, for if you do not believe that I am He. So if you don't believe, you're in trouble. But if you do believe, you are not. If you not believe that I am He, or the one I, or some verses say the one I claim to be, you will die in your sins. Second time, third time He says it. So Jesus knows what they're saying. Jesus knows that they're not taking Him seriously. So does He back down? No, He keeps going at them, right? He says, we are from two different worlds. Now the term beneath or below generally refers to the world of moral darkness. He goes, you're from the world of moral darkness. And He says, I'm from above. Where am I from? I'm from the realm of God. I came from God's place. And when Jesus says, you are of this world, again, let's be fair, that's all of us. We are all of this world, and we live in a fallen world. We are part of this fallen world. Yet at the end of verse 23, Jesus makes another radical claim. He says, I am not of this world. He's saying, I am from heaven. We go from then in verse 24, goes back to verse 21. He says, you will die in your sins. This time it's plural. But then He says this, which again, this kind of stuff flips me out. He says, for if you do not believe that I am He, I am God, you will die in your sins. But flip that coin over. But He says, if you're willing to believe in me, if you're willing to trust in me, you won't die in your sins. It won't happen to you. That is the clear path to heaven. I know a lot of people would say, well, I resent this. You'll die in your sins. But Jesus says, but I have a solution. It's not like, well, if you're a good person, people go, well, good people go to heaven. Okay, you're nice people. You say, okay, great. I go, define good. And then they'll say, well, I'm a good person. I go, what good things do you do? Oh, you know, okay, I gave $5 at work to a good cause or something like that. I go, oh, heaven must be blown away, right? I mean, come on. How good is good enough? How good is good enough to stand in front of a holy, perfect God? Really? Really? Do you want to take that chance? Do you want to go in on your goodness, or do you want to ride in on the Jesus wave? I want to ride in on the Jesus wave, right? People say to me, oh, you're a pastor. People must really be, you know, must be very rewarding. I go, it is. It's rewarding and it's heartbreaking. It's both. It's both. And then they're like, well, you must feel really good about yourself. God must be really happy with you. I go, I don't think so. Right? I think he's happy about my faith in Jesus, and that's about it. Okay? So what is this clear path to heaven? It's faith and trust in Jesus, who is the agent of God or the mediator between life and death. Jesus is clear. Faith and trust in Jesus Christ is the way to avoid the consequences of sin and death. So what are they going to do with it? And again, if you're not a follower of Jesus, what will you do? What will you do? That's really what we're here for. We're here to teach, for us to grow in our faith, but for those who are not yet in the faith, to try and invite you into the faith. You know, we often talk about the necessity of faith. Very important, very important. But here, Jesus reminds us of the consequence of unbelief. I don't know that gets enough, you know, airtime. Now, let's be honest. This is a scary warning. This is scary. Jesus tells them, as you are now, you will bear the consequences of your own sin. It's a very scary thing. But even now, basically, I'm putting words in Jesus' mouth. Despite your wanting to kill me, there's a cure. Believe in me. Trust in me, and I'll get you there. I'll get you there. Jesus is calling all of them, as well as all of us, to a clear choice. There's no middle ground. And it's this: die in your sins or have Jesus die on the cross for you. It's one or the other. And a lot of people don't like to hear this stuff. Now, some of you may even be thinking right now, why did I bother to come to church today? Okay? Because Jesus wanted you to hear the truth. He wanted you to hear the truth and put your faith and trust in him. So let's go over a few verses, and we'll do some maybe not such great news for some of us, but then some good news. Romans 3:19-20. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, okay? And that all the world may become guilty before God. So everyone is guilty. God says everyone is guilty. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh, some versions say no one will be justified in his sight. They'll be considered good in his sight. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed, some versions say destined, for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Some versions say after this, face the judgment. Now, you might say, that's not making me feel comfortable. Well, let's look at two other verses. Famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, some add in this way, that he gave his only begotten son, the idea is he gave his one and only son, that whoever, not good people, not some people, not maybe people, who? Whoever. Again, you say it's too late for me? Wrong. Whoever believes in him, we often say that word belief is more common to our word trust, should not perish but have everlasting life or eternal life. 2 Corinthians 4:6, For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. We read that earlier, right? Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of Jesus Christ. All right, so that's number one. You will die in your sins. So that leads the religious leaders to ask a question. Who are you? Who are you? Verse 25 to 27. Then they said to him, who are you? Now, I know some of you say it's a song by The Who. If you're old, if you're young, you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, or maybe you do. It's amazing how many young people listen to music that I used to listen to back when I was a kid. I'm like hanging out with a bunch of young people and they're listening to music. And I'm like, okay, who wants to go at me with Name That Tune, right? And most of the time I win. You say, why do you win? Well, because I was a truck driver. That's all I used to listen to before I was a Christian. Okay, anyway, back to this. Then they said to him, who are you? Now we think, who are you? But really it's more like we would say, like, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to talk to us like that? And Jesus said to them, just or exactly what I have been saying to you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you or in judgment of you, but he who sent me, that's God the Father, is true, and I speak or I tell, I declare to you, to the world, those things which I heard from him. The Apostle John then gives us some clarification in verse 27. They did not understand that he spoke of them of the Father. So in other words, they're like, they didn't get it. So John has begun telling them that he is God. Okay, Jesus has been telling them that he is God, sent by God the Father, and their eternal destiny hangs on their response to Jesus Christ. Okay? Very important to understand that. They are blind to the fact that their religious position is meaningless, okay, that they are in the darkness. And again, in our country, a lot of times we hold religious people in too high a regard. Now, it's possible when he says what I've been saying to you from the beginning, he could be talking about the beginning of his ministry. He could be going all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. Don't really know. And the problem is that they're blind to who Jesus is, and they're spiritually deaf to who Jesus really is, and Jesus and God the Father charges them with unbelief through Jesus Christ. Now, notice what they're trying to do here. They tried to sidetrack Jesus, but it's not working. It's a great example for all of us. Jesus is just staying on the message, staying on the message, staying on the message. Now, you may have to listen to people say a bunch, we've said this before, a lot of silly stuff, okay? It's okay. Don't interrupt, because that's the only way you can say to them, I didn't interrupt you, I don't think you should be able to interrupt me, okay? You just want to ask them to be polite about it, okay? And Jesus knows that humanity is separated from a relationship with God, and the mediator is Jesus himself. So rejecting Jesus, what he's saying, is rejecting God the Father. Great verse, a lot of you know it, 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. How many mediators? Louder? One. Okay, now let me insult some more people. That's why we don't pray to the saints. That's why. People ask you why, there's your verse right there. There's your verse. There's one mediator. One. Now, some people will contest you on that. Okay? Then you say to them, this is what I say to people, have you read the book of 1 Corinthians? No. What does he call them at the beginning? To the saints in Corinth. Okay? The saints in Corinth. Now, the saints are the people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So, some of you are saints. How's that feel? Yeah. Yeah. The business that I own, we have a customer. They actually should buy their stuff so we get more money. and we transport their stuff, and it's iced tea called St. James. Right? They named it after me. Some of you are like, your name's Jim. My real name's James. Okay. No, but see, anyway, they didn't name it after me. But here's the thing. He writes to the saints in Corinth. Who of all the churches, who was the problem child? Corinth. The people in Corinth were a hot mess. That place was nothing but trouble. And Paul writes to the saints in Corinth. Okay, you've put your trust in Jesus. Let's fix the problems in the church. Let's take care of that, okay? And here, Jesus exposes, okay, our sin. He exposes the sin of the religious leaders and offers people faith and the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And here Jesus says, my Father is true. And then he says, but and I only tell you what he tells me to tell you. So if my Father is true, then my message is true. He's saying, I'm not lying to you guys. And they, again, these people are, they're just going crazy. Jesus goes on, very important, verse 28, read it twice again. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. All right, let's go slowly. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man. Now, that's from Daniel 7. We've seen him call himself that already. That's his favorite name for himself. They are furious. They're like, did he just call himself the Son of Man? The Son of Man, it comes on a cloud to God the Father, and he is both human and divine. They're like, is this guy saying he's the God-man? They would be unbelievably upset. Okay? So then he says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, now that could all refer him to the cross rising from the dead and the ascension, but essentially the cross, really, then you will know that I am he. When you do that, you'll know who I am. And I do nothing of myself or of my own initiative or authority, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. So when Jesus is lifted up on the cross, it appears, okay, that he's been defeated by the religious leaders. When you read the passages, and the passages on the cross is most of the last quarter to a third of the Gospels, you just see them there wagging their tails. You know, yeah, come down from that cross if you're really the Son of God. Okay? Now, could he have come down? Yes. If he had came down, could you go to heaven? No. Why'd he stay up there? It was love that kept him on that cross. Amen. That's what kept him on that cross. And they are going to wag their tails at him. And I, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine what that could have been like. Okay? So it will appear that he's defeated. And this may seem odd to you, but Jesus' throne on earth was the cross. The king is on the cross. And this will be the majesty and glory of the king who defeats sin and death. And this is the good news of the gospel. The cross back in that time was the biggest humiliation imaginable to someone. It was the biggest disgrace. And yet, the Son of Man, the glorious Old Testament figure, was crucified on a cross. And that is the heart of our message. The judge himself takes on the guilt of the accused for all who turn to him and trust in him. And I think that sometimes I hear some of my friends talk, and they talk about certain people that they see on television and stuff like that, and they'll have these terrible attitudes about them. And I'll be like, you know, Jesus died for them, man. He did. And let us never forget that. In fact, Jesus then says, after this, it will be much clearer to you who I am, that I am the King of glory. And after his resurrection, it will confirm Jesus' claims and open the doorway to the forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who believe. And you know, this is an important thing for all of us to remember. The cross reminds us all that despite our failures, the Lord still loves us and calls us to follow him. In the book of Daniel, the Son of Man will come to the Father on the clouds. And Jesus told us way back in John 5:27, he will come to execute judgment. But for people who put their faith and trust in Jesus, they are declared not guilty. And I wonder if this is how Jesus could face the cross with joy and peace and confidence to save the souls of his people. Verse 29 and 30, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. Now, this next thing is very important. He says this, for I always do the things that please him. John adds, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. We'll see them, Lord willing, next week. So these words in verse 29 will connect us to what's going to be in the following sections. He who sent me is with me. Jesus is pointing to what? The unity that he has with God the Father, okay? That the Father is always with him and he always obeys God the Father. Now, we have to really think about what is he saying to these religious leaders. Basically, he's saying, I always do what God says, and you guys don't. You think they're happy about that? No. He is digging the ditch deeper and deeper, isn't he? He is just going at them with this. Now, again, we have to be a bit more careful in the way we talk to people, but we can't shave the message. This is part of the Trinitarian union, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from eternity past and in this moment. But don't miss this. The God-man is always in God's presence spiritually and through the way Jesus lives. And that's what he's telling them. This is the goal that the Lord Jesus has for you and for me. He wants us to be in his presence and to live for him and to obey him. Will we be perfect at it? No, we won't. That's not going to happen. But make no mistake about it. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he will never leave you or forsake you. But it is important to have true faith. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for some people? Nope. Everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. The question for you, whether you're here or you're somewhere else in the building or watching online or listening on the radio, is it for you? Is it the power of God for salvation for you? Do you believe? As we go to the Lord's table, we think of the cross, and there we see we think of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, for a true follower of Jesus, okay, and I'm speaking figuratively, I'm not speaking literally, okay? We put our trust in Jesus. In effect, we belong to the bloodline of Jesus. We are adopted into the family of God because of the grace of God. And he has welcomed followers of Jesus into his family, welcomed us into his light by taking us out of the darkness. So what did Jesus do on the cross? He took the darkness of our hearts and the darkness of our sin on the cross. And if you want to receive the light of Jesus, you can today. Simply confess your sins to God the Father, including your unbelief, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and then may the Lord Jesus Christ take you on a clear path to heaven.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. Our hope and prayer is that all of our listeners would grow into committed followers of Jesus Christ, and we are overjoyed to play whatever role we can in helping you mature in your faith. Would you like to know more about us? Maybe you would like to pass on this message to a friend or family member. If so, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. Maybe you have a question or need some guidance. We don't want to replace your pastor, but we are here to help. Our email address is changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. You may be surprised to know how excited Pastor Jim and the Changed by Love radio team are to hear from you. In fact, it's common for Pastor Jim to pass on your encouragement to the congregation, since we consider all of our listeners part of our family. Would you prayerfully consider financially partnering with us so we can continue bringing Pastor Jim's simple teaching to you each day? Some people give monthly, some periodically, and some others a one-time gift. Every gift helps further God's kingdom, and we all play an important role in that. Simply go to our website at changedbyloveradio.org and click the donate button. Our goal is to simply share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to you, your friends, your family, and your community. We would love to hear from you, and please let us know what station you hear Changed by Love Radio on. We pray you stay close to Jesus and that you will be changed by love. God bless you.